to you by our friends of the British Council. Hey everybody, Matt McCarthy here at the Fantasy Sports Network, Studio 34 on West 35th Street in New York City, and a happy belated Halloween again to all of you out there. My distinguished guests calling in from New Zealand. And he just, oh, there he is. He's like a cat. Jamie Wall, and it's about 7 a.m. on next Wednesday afternoon sometime in the future. For the folks at home that don't know, you are a part of the Rugby Wrap-Up family. You wrote for Rugby Wrap-Up for a long time. Sure. You are New Zealand-based in Auckland, and you are a Rugby Pass and New Zealand radio guy right now. And then Martin Pengelly of The Guardian, and he's also, Martin, a lot of folks don't know that you played a little rugby at Durham University as a lock.
I did play at Durham University as a lock, yes. That's about the best team I could think I played for.
So Martin is also, you know, he also does this little thing called Weekend Editor at The Guardian US, which kind of lends him a little bit more credibility. And then we have Mr. John Broker, a rugby commentator. Sit down, because this is a long one. Rugby commentator, former national teams administrator for USA Rugby, and the first one to do that. Current coach at Fairfield Prep, former coach at Yale, men's and women's. Coached a little bit at University of Colorado when you were out there at USA Rugby. You are a Hall of Fame member and former president of the New Haven Rugby Club, and last but not least, the founder of Bulldog Rugby. Jamie, can you guess what my Halloween costume is?
I'm going to say you're a leprechaun.
Okay. That's his every day.
It's not a bad guess.
From where I'm sitting?
Martin?
Sexy Irish Brian May of Queen.
Okay.
Irish soccer fan?
Actually, no. I am a 2023 hopeful for the World Cup in Ireland fan.
There you go.
Because we saw the news that the Rugby World Cup discussion panel, whatever you want to call it, picked South Africa as the choice destination. Jamie, what do you think of that?
I'm actually not that surprised. When they came out with the announcements of who was going to make it, I always thought, I mean, I think everyone's sentimental favorite was Ireland, but when you really look at it, unless they played the whole thing at Aviva Stadium, they just don't have the capacity to make a World Cup happen. It's a massive event now. I mean, you look at the last one in England. I mean, they were playing that in some really big parks. The All Blacks played at the Olympic Stadium in London. I think there was another couple of games up in St. James's Park in Newcastle. These are big, and at Wembley as well. So I'm not sure where Ireland were going to actually hold the thing. You contrast that to South Africa. They've got, I think, 8 stadiums that are 50,000 plus, and they've got the 90,000 seat stadium at where they hosted the Football World Cup final. So, I mean, to me, it was a bit of a no-brainer, but it was always going to come down to South Africa and France. I guess the sentimental value for me, again, was South Africa, because it would be nice for me to finally be able to see the All Blacks go there and win a World Cup.
The prediction is in already.
All right, Martin. Sure. Yep. What do you think? Do you think it should be South Africa? Do you think it should be Ireland? And France given an extra $30 million, right?
Well, I think South Africa promised the most money. They promised more than France in their guaranteed payment. It's about money. It's about stadiums too. Ireland were going to use, and still may use, GAA stadiums. They've got Croke Park. That's a big park, big enough for a final. It's cash. That's what it's about. And after a World Cup in Japan, which counts as a developmental World Cup in terms of going somewhere you wouldn't normally go, you need to go back to somewhere that's going to give you a guaranteed payout like England did. That's what's happening here
as far as I can tell. So what you're saying is Ireland does have some big stadiums, especially for the Gaelic football. You can go to Croke Park, for instance. So it doesn't necessarily have to be one of their rugby stadiums.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point. And, I mean, I think that like Martin just mentioned, it was a money thing as well. You know, rugby still is very much the number one sport. It's up there in South Africa and in France. And like you said, it is a guaranteed money spinner. down there, and also it's just nice to switch it up between hemispheres every time that they do it as well, just to grow the game, because you know I feel like rugby, an area that rugby is neglecting is Africa at the moment. I mean, obviously it's got one very very strong point, but it's it needs to grow out of South Africa if world rugby really is true to its goal of growing the game worldwide.
Interesting. James, John, yes. as an American, mm-hmm. you got any druthers on where you'd like
really,
to see
I agree with these guys. It's about the money. That's what's going to happen. You know, it's going to be and a really good point about growing rugby in Asia. I mean, in Africa, excuse me. You know, a really good point about bringing it to South Africa. I think from an American perspective, most people here, a lot of fans around the world, if you're looking at it from the fans' perspective, Ireland would probably be the sort of sentimental favorite we're all talking about. Great people, great fans. Just look at the Euro 2016 soccer fans of Ireland were like a hit around the world. They were so much fun. They were so welcoming. You know, it'd be a really great environment. Rugby's making inroads on their traditional sports there, Gaelic football and hurling, mostly because those are still, you know, amateur sports and rugby's going professional. There's an outlet for a lot of people to now make a living out of it. And they do have those other stadiums. You know, I think the American fan, a lot of fans would love to go to Ireland over some of those other places. But, you know, it is about the dollar and it's about the money. So we'll see where it comes down. But, you know, I think the sentimental and the fan favorite would probably be Ireland.
Yeah. And, you know, Jamie, I'm just going to say, right before we take this break, that you'd have a stadium full of this guy right here. A stadium full of this guy, okay, which is pretty cool. Okay.
Well,
we got to hold
that
thought.
If you're in South Africa, you'd still have the same thing, same color.
You got to hold that thought. We're going to come back. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a teaser between segments. We're going to come back and talk about some November tests, some international rugby with these men, Mr. Jamie Wall, Mr. Martin Pengelly, and Mr. John Broker, right after this.
If you're in New York City and want to watch some great rugby, have some great food, and some great times, go to the world's best rugby pub, the Pig and Whistle on West 36th Street.
Hey everybody, Matt McCarthy here at the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 on West 35th Street in New York City, and we've got a scary good show to you on this belated Halloween. We left with a teaser of sorts about the upcoming November internationals. We got some big heavyweight international tests coming up, and we'd be remiss if we didn't address the current Team USA situation. We've got an interim coach from Jamie's neck of the woods, Mr. Dave Hewitt, and we have USA playing a first against Germany, and then they're playing Georgia. They start out in Frankfurt. Jamie, what can you tell us about Dave Hewitt, the interim head coach that has never seen any of these players?
Well, Dave was an All Black, I think, way back in from about 2000 to 2003. I think he made it through to the 2003 World Cup, and he was a backup prop at the time, so he's the sort of guy who you probably come up in a pub trivia, pub quiz. You know, if you guys have those over there, you know,
like we don't have any pubs.
A quiz. You know, where they'll show his face and say, "Who was this guy?" And everyone goes, "Oh, he played for the Crusaders." Yeah. So he had a pretty good run with the Crusaders. I think he played around about 50 games for them, and then after he left, he went straight into coaching. So he's actually become more well known as a coach, and has done some work with the Crusaders, with the Chiefs. So he does come with some pretty high pedigree. Sorry, he was with Canterbury rather. Not he didn't really make it up to Super Rugby. So he does come with a reasonably decent pedigree with him. So I feel like coaching wise, you're in good hands. You're definitely in better hands than the last New Zealander that came up there, because I think you know my feelings on John Mitchell, I think that until Gary Gold comes over, you know you've probably done all right if it comes to a caretaker coach, but yeah, again, it's a pretty tough ask for anyone, no matter how where they've come from, to step into the shoes of a situation. Where you're not even seeing the players, and you're only there for a limited amount of time. So I wish him the best of luck. Yeah. And he's a good bloke, from what I've heard.
All right. Martin, what do you think of the start of the Gary Gold era it's the almost start of the Gary Gold era.
Oh, it is what it is, isn't it? I mean, you've got someone coming in who's got New Zealand experience, Super Rugby experience. He is a former All Black prop. I would suggest that one of the things the Eagles need most at the moment is scrummaging improvement, especially when you're going to Georgia to get the pushed around the park in Tbilisi.
And some big boys.
Some big boys. So they obviously have to make the best of the situation. They've got this Gary Gold deal, which is working as it's working. He'll be coming in more. I read something on the press release about for these two games, Gary Gold will be working something like integrally but remotely, or some kind of oxymoron like that.
Remotely.
So good luck to him. But you know, it's the situation. That's what you've got to do. The Germany game is going to be fascinating to see, I think, and then Georgia's going to be a big ask. But you know, good on him. He's a good coach. He was a good player.
All right, John Broecker, as a former USA Rugby employee, how do you see this? You think it's you know. Greg McWilliams,
I know a
who's on
of
this
people, staff. A number of people involved in this from, you know, working with him. I worked with Dan Payne when I was at USA Rugby. I worked with Dave Williams. Davey Boy is just a great guy. And I'm very good friends with Greg McWilliams. He's going to be the backs and attack coach. I mean, I've been...
The Irish
George
Clooney.
I was never George the decision-maker. The Irish George Clooney. Yeah. I was never, you know, the decision-maker, but I was involved in the process of you know, setting up some coaching staffs and for different level of national team, and there's a lot that goes to it. As far as I understand this, Gary Gold's coming in June next year, right? So he gets to pick his own staff at the end of the day. So everybody you're seeing there is on an interim basis. I mean, Dave Hewitt's a great choice for a guy, but he's here for a month, you know? I mean, he's got a great ask, got a great opportunity for a guy like Dave to come in and really show what he can do in a short period of time. Because any coach that comes in really only has his players for a short period of time.
Well, these guys have any chance at sticking with the regular staff? Or is Dave Hewitt on loan?
He could be. I mean, he could become part of the regular staff. For now, this is the regular staff. And then Gary Gold gets to see what he wants to do. I mean, that's a question here. He worked with the people in the USA to identify these coaches. And it's a great – Greg McWilliams is a phenomenal – I mean – all, you know, be quite honest, a very good friend of mine, but I've also worked with him professionally and hired him for some coaching clinics, and he is amazing, tremendous coach, right? Dave Williams has a big pedigree and has done a great job. So, you know, they're surrounding with good people. I don't find this out of the ordinary or in any way weird choices, you know.
All right,
but they do get into, you know, he will get to make his decision at that time. But, you know, we all wish the Eagles the best of luck, of course.
Absolutely.
And all these guys are there for the players. I'll just add that, too. They're really player-focused people.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, from what I'm hearing from you guys, this is all a good thing. I thought it was a little bit wacky to have an interim coach mm-hmm. for a coach that's absentee, but then change the staff from the APCs. But anyway, we got other international tests, and we have our producer, Dr. Evil, downstairs screaming in my ear that we're almost out of time. So, Jamie, some upcoming stuff for the November test that you are particularly interested in.
Well, I'm interested in the game this weekend, the All Blacks versus the Barbarians, because for us, New Zealand Rugby have managed to just swing this into being just an extended All Black trial. Obviously, the Barbarians can't really pick anyone from the UK or Europe at the moment because they're all on test duty. So they've just loaded up the team with all the guys who didn't make the All Blacks. It's going to be pretty funny to watch more or less an All Black trial happening at Twickenham on someone else's dime. So thanks to the Barbarians for doing that for us. But that's going to be a really exciting game because there's some really good up-and-coming players. I think one guy who you guys might have heard of who's been doing really well this season is Richie Mo'unga.
Yep.
He's probably going to be the next backup first five to Bowden Barrett. And he is just a super, super exciting guy to watch. And if you can get out and watch that, I'd definitely recommend it. He's really, really good.
Martin, go ahead.
Very quickly, as I just mentioned, I'm looking forward to seeing Germany play.
Because
just stole the ones I was going to talk about.
Well, it's a fascinating situation in Germany. They're one of those teams in Europe that is taking it more seriously these days, like Belgium, like Russia. They're still in with a chance of World Cup qualification. They're not that close, but they beat Romania recently, which shows that they're a serious team. I want to know more about German rugby, so this is a chance.
Boy, the Germans are coming, John.
I've heard good things. I mean, German rugby is supposedly doing really well. I'm available for hire. They are doing great things. I'd love to see, you know, the USA, of course, root for the USA, but I'd love to see how it goes with that game. And I agree, the Barbarians fantastic. I want to see Julian Savea play against some of the some of his, you know, current and competitive teammates out there. It's going to be great. But the thing for me is going to be to see this sort of – it keeps changing a little bit, the Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere kind of competition level. You know, Ireland beat the All Blacks, and it was a, you know, kind of a watershed moment. But
don't say that close for Jamie. He's still wearing
nothing
black.
Nothing close has happened since. The All Blacks are still such a dominant team. But, you know, it's interesting to just see the kind of back and forth and how the teams are competing. So I'm just, you know, always look forward to these periods of the year as a whole.
Well, I can't now. It was Martin stole my Germany thing. I thought that was it. Nobody's going to get that one. You know, pick USA Georgia. Versus Germany. Nobody's. Georgia. Yeah, yeah. So I would have been out twice anyway. So, and Jamie, I guess we've uncovered the truth about your not wanting the World Cup in Ireland is because, well, Ireland beat the All Blacks. So.
Yeah, we're still dirty about that. Yeah. Can I just say one thing? There's just an interesting fact. That was the first Ireland beating the All Blacks was the first time a team that had never beaten the All Blacks had done so in my lifetime.
Ooh, wow,
and
interesting.
I've been around for 36 years.
Well, why don't you get in line and talk to some Chicago Cubs fans because they won the World Series that same week. Yeah. And just, you know, that you touched upon a brilliant idea, pub trivia, guys. Maybe we could bring that to the United States, pub trivia. And here's
you guys
probably love that here.
Yeah, and you know what? The word gullible's not in the dictionary either, Wall. But see, here's some pub trivia for you. Greg McWilliams was the first one to get the school bell for talking too much on this
really?
Set. The Irish George Clooney.
He'll be coaching with the Barbarians, actually. He was supposed to go this weekend, but since he got the USA gig, he's put that off for a week. So he's going to be coaching with the Barbarians in Ireland when they play Tonga.
Wow.
And then headed off to meet the USA team. So he's doing good things.
He's doing all right, that guy.
Greg, yell me $5.
Anyway, fellas, thank you for coming in. These things fly by, and we're going to have to do it all again all the time because these are great. I want to thank Mr. Jamie Wall calling in from New Zealand. I want to thank Martin Pengelly for gracing us with his presence once again. He had some class. And Mr. John Broker, the smooth stylings
thank
of John
Broker.
Thank
you for having me. A pleasure.
On behalf of all these gentlemen, Matt McCarthy here and wishing you a belated happy Halloween from the Studio 34 Fantasy Sports Network here in New York City on West 35th Street for Rugby Wrap-Up. See you later.